Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Happy Friday, January 9th, 2025 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the program. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, we have a lot to get to today, huh?
We do. Big day of sports news here in the city of Memphis.
Yeah, and it's one A story that you just cannot ignore off the top of the show. Ja Morant, according to Shams Charania, is officially being dangled in trade talks by the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll get to that. And we'll continue to discuss it. Parker Fleming will join at 6 o'clock. We also have the CFP to discuss. I thought we started off pretty damn well last night.
Really good game. Awesome game.
Great game. Carson Beck, by the way, came through when it mattered, didn't he?
I think that I could have scored on that run.
I guess so, to be fair. But he tucked it and ran when he needed to last night.
Sure.
And I thought that was one of the biggest differences in the game. But
yeah.
Also, it just I haven't heard anybody mention this. By the third and fourth quarter, it just felt like Miami's offensive line, Mark Fletcher, the sheer size and just physically imposing bodies they have on that side of the ball. It felt like they were just leaning on Ole Miss
the entire game,
and Ole Miss could not hold up by the end.
One of the very surprising things of bowl season and the college football playoff, the SEC in the trenches have been getting pushed around.
Yeah. Yep. 100%.
In a huge way.
Yeah. Big Ten's built like that.
And
we know that.
Really, the only success they've had is against each other.
Miami. In the ACC, having built what they've built, Mario Cristobal, you get a lot of credit because they are massive, they're athletic, and we'll see what it looks like by the time they get to the national championship game, but I give them a shot against Oregon or Indiana.
I think they have a shot. Their defense is so good. I think Mark Fletcher is an extremely talented running back who I think was a game breaker in a way last night. And then Carson Beck, he did what he was supposed to do. He took care of the football for the most part. And he made the plays when he needed to. I have to give him credit. I hated it.
Yep.
I hated it. But he tried to throw it away a couple times on that last drive.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he got the plays done when they needed to.
Yeah, but heck of a year for Ole Miss and heck of a year
amazing
for
Trinidad Chambliss. Amazing year for them.
We'll get into the particulars here at the bottom half of this hour. But also, we have a trip around the NFL at 5:30. And I'll get to my – it's not going to be a power ranking, Connor. This is how we're going to do it. My top five most trusted teams heading into the NFL playoffs. Because you're in this spot where you don't have the Bengals and Joe Burrow. You don't have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You certainly don't have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Who do we trust? You have a lot of new faces, a lot of different teams and franchises involved. Who do I trust the most? I'll give you my top five.
May I ask a question?
Yep.
Is it top five teams you trust, or does it kind of lean quarterbacks you trust?
I think it's teams.
Okay.
Teams.
Okay.
Because, listen, team football wins at this time of year. When you get into that cold weather,
right,
you need some run game, you need some offensive line, you need a good defense. So there's a lot of teams that may surprise you in my top five.
Fair enough.
All right. It's kind of funny that this happens today on Jeff Calkins' last day on air, and it didn't drop until Jeff was off air. So I think it dropped about at the start of the second hour of Jason and John. So, I honestly feel good for Jeff that he didn't have to discuss this on his final day. This is not the most fun thing to discuss But there's a lot of different things.
Shams actually did it out of respect for Jeff Calkins when he released it.
Sure. There's a lot of different things to unpack here. But this was from 11:56 this morning. Shams Charania said, just in, for the first time, the Memphis Grizzlies are entertaining offers to potentially move two-time All-Star Ja Morant ahead of the February 5th NBA trade deadline, sources tell ESPN. All right, so 11 months ago, Zach Kleiman, amid a bunch of Ja trade machine talks, really, a lot of different insiders and aggregators saying that Ja could be traded last season, Zach Kleiman says, no. I know a lot of people fantasize. Organizations fantasize about us wanting to trade Ja, but it's not going to happen. Well, 11 months later, here we are. And since then, a lot has happened with Ja Morant. Running with the coach, can't stay on the floor, one-game suspension, doesn't seem all that locked in and engaged when he's on the bench and in street clothes. And there's been times when he's been on the floor where he hasn't looked engaged. So I guess the biggest question I have right after getting this notification is, why did the timeline speed up so fast? Because I think most of us had the idea, and you've said this multiple times, a trade wouldn't happen till this summer, till this offseason. But there's a lot of different reasons it could have sped up. One, the Grizzlies could look at the situation, and obviously I think the best outcome would be Ja returning to 2021-2022 form, and you go forward. Mm-hmm. Memphis Grizzlies have a chance to compete in the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. He stays on the floor. That's the ideal outcome. But considering that's not the case, it feels like there's a lot of skepticism on the Grizzlies side that he'll ever return back to form. And I'd be lying if I said I don't share that same skepticism. I have real questions about Ja Morant and his viability as a star, all-star, all-NBA-level player in this NBA. He has not grown a jump shot. He has career lows in field goal percentage and three-point percentage. And I think generally he's unhappy. Another thing that could have happened along the way is Ja's looking for an extension at some point. Probably wants as much money as possible while he can get it in the National Basketball Association. That has not been paid to him yet. Jaren Jackson Jr. gets a long-term extension. And let's be honest about it. Ja has not shown anything since his contract, the first one, hit to really put you in a situation where you're going to give him an extension. So I wonder if he has had discussions with the front office, with other people about who could pay him that extension, if the Grizzlies are going to pay him that extension, and maybe that has come to a head. But I will say this. Yesterday, when we got to small talk to end the show, we talked about how Ja Morant, previous three games leading into tonight's game against the Thunder, he was questionable. I think he was doubtful. He was upgraded to questionable. Did not play in any one of those three games. But then against the Thunder, amid his rehab process, supposedly, he has ruled us out. So I figured there was something up. I didn't know it was this much of a bombshell, but here we are. It feels like the timeline has sped up, and a trade is imminent. A trade is imminent, whether it's at the trade deadline or this offseason.
Yeah, again, I expected Ja trade conversation to begin in the offseason if he wasn't able to make it through a full season mostly healthy. And I think at this point in the year, we can probably say it seems unlikely he's going to be able to make it through the whole season mostly healthy. I think that we may be seeing this for a few different reasons right now. One, I do think that the Trae Young trade probably prompted some of this conversation. I'm sure that teams began calling about Trae Young, and for some reason the team thought that it would be a good time to go ahead and leak that. It could be for a few different reasons. One, the trade deadline is coming up, so they want to give teams some time to think about it. At the same time, if they don't intend to actually trade him at the trade deadline or before the trade deadline, you now give teams a long runway to think about Ja and the possibility of acquiring him in the offseason. You also have a very good NBA draft coming up that you could use Ja as a pretty damn good trade chip to go up in the draft if you wanted to do that. I also think that this could be connected to Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ty Jerome should come back sooner rather than later. We haven't seen them yet this season, but given the timelines that the Grizzlies have given us from the medical team, it seems like that's not too far off in the future. So I think all of those things combined is probably why you're seeing the Ja Morant news today. I do agree with you. I think that the extension probably has something to do with it. If I had to guess, I've heard a couple of things from people. I asked around, but it sounds like that Trae Young being moved and then getting in, you know, the extension prompted conversation between Ja and the Grizzlies.
Right.
And I'm assuming it didn't go super well. Now, part of the reason it may not have gone well is Ja doesn't have an agent, which is not beneficial to him at the moment. All that being said, I understand why the Grizzlies are going to take calls on Ja.
Yep.
I don't love it. I wish it wasn't the reality of the situation. But Ja Morant, over the last three seasons, has played 77 games.
Yep.
Gabe, do you know how many games Joel Embiid has played over the last three seasons?
I know the 76.
76.
Yep. It's the same amount.
Same amount of games. That's not great. It's not what you want. It is very difficult to build a contender, to have a contending team.
When your best player is not on the floor.
A superstar player who is not on the floor. And I think that Jason Smith had a really good phone call earlier with one of, because they took calls on Jason and John. And I think that Jason made a great point. Someone called in and said, the Grizzlies have failed Ja. They haven't treated him like a superstar. To which Jason said, they've actually treated him too much like a superstar.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of sentiment today that the Grizzlies haven't stood by Ja. And all that. I'm like, what reality are y'all talking about?
No.
The Grizzlies have stood by Ja for the last few seasons in a major, major way. And unfortunately, Ja hasn't played basketball. And this is the NBA. And the goal of the NBA is to win games. You can't win games when your best player is not playing. So at some point, the Grizzlies have to look at it and say, are we just going to keep doing this every single season with Ja, or do we move off of him and try to move forward? I also think that Cedric Howard and Zach Edey, the sample size that they had with those two guys on the floor, probably showed them there is a future after Ja. There is. And I've also seen the sentiment today, and listen, I get it. Ja is the best player we've ever had in Grizzlies uniform. That's not debatable.
Biggest celebrity player,
the biggest celebrity,
too, all that.
Biggest star we've had in a Grizzlies uniform. None of that's debatable. It's not. I've seen a lot of big emotions from people today, and I understand it. Fans are going to have big emotions. Media members are going to have big emotions about it. But there's been a lot of, well, the Grizzlies are going to end after Ja Morant. That, I just don't agree with that. I don't agree with that sentiment, given the nearly 20 years of success that they had before Ja.
Yeah.
There is a life after Ja Morant. You just have to get this right. And listen, part of the reason this hasn't worked out, I think a lot of the blame I think is a strong word, but Ja has to take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Front office has to take responsibility for it. Ownership has to take responsibility for it. All of those things are why we're having this conversation today. It's not all the front office's fault. It's not all Ja's fault. Ja can't control his health for the most part. But what Ja can control is his attitude around the team.
Yep.
He can control working on a jump shot and improving his game, and he hasn't done that. And that's one of the reasons we're having this conversation. It's gotten to a point to where you're at a crossroads. Do you try to give Ja an extension and keep doing this dance and just hope against hope that he's actually going to be able to give you 65 games in a season when he hasn't done that in 3 years?
And even when he's giving you 45 at this moment or 30, he's not playing particularly well. And we don't have to lie about it. We don't have to hide that. You can't listen. Past success does not always predict future success. That's not how this works. And Ja's been through a lot of injuries. He's had a lot of mistakes along the way. I don't know if he'll ever get back to that. That's the reality of this. Since this season began, obviously, we started off on a good note with Ja, then it went downhill a little bit, then you had the run-in with Tomas Isolo, then he gets back to the floor, doesn't play all that well, and there's been, and I think the most frustrating part of this whole thing, you know, exploring trades right now, you haven't seen him with Zach Edey, but for 5 minutes.
Right.
Like, that's very frustrating.
Beautiful, beautiful 5 minutes.
But,
6 minutes.
In the end of the day, Ja is not playing good basketball, and I think the Grizzlies are questioning, like I'm questioning, is Ja ever... And I want to ask you this as well. Is he ever, whether he's in a Grizzlies uniform or another NBA uniform, is he ever going to get back to the form he was at in 21-22? Or is the style of player he's going to have to be going forward, is he going to have to pivot? Is he going to have to be a pass-first guy? Because clearly the jump shot is not coming along. He's getting less frequent around the rim. He can't finish around the rim at the same level. So that's the question I have, and I think the Grizzlies have looked at that. And based on the news today, they probably do not think Ja Morant is ever going to get back to his high-flying, happy, unbelievable two-time All-Star self. And I don't blame them for having that thought process because I have questioned it the entire year when he has been on the floor.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question to ask. We know the history of the NBA with undersized guards who rely on athleticism around the rim.
Don't usually last long.
Especially those that dealt with a ton of injury. And I know a guy that Ja has been compared to many times is someone like Allen Iverson. There is a major, major difference between Ja and Allen Iverson. Gabe, do you know what it is?
What is it?
Allen Iverson could shoot. He could shoot a three.
Yeah.
He could shoot a mid-range shot. That's a major, major difference between the two of them. If Ja wants to extend his career and continue to be the star player that we think he can be and he has been before, it's going to come down to, do you develop a shot, man?
Yeah.
Because this year...
He's regressed. When he hasn't gotten better.
No,
he's
having the worst season of his career. There's no doubt about it. He's having the worst season of his career. He's the lowest field goal percentage, lowest three-point percentage. Jock Landale is a 10 times better shooter than Ja Morant right now. And that can't happen for your star player. He's got career lows across the board for things, except for assists, but he's close to his career low. Career low in points other than his rookie season. It's just the inconsistency of it, the inconsistency of him being available, the drama with the team on and off the court. He quit a game this
yep.
year that they were then winning.
They were winning by 14.
All of that is why we're having this conversation yep. now. And you ask me, can Ja get back to 21-22? Maybe. Do I think he can do it consistently, though? I have doubts about that.
Well,
and I think that you're also seeing that other NBA teams have doubts about that, given what we've already heard about the potential return or the teams that may be interested for Ja. It does seem like Ja might actually get a little bit more than Trae Young got.
Because he's got an extra year on his
right,
on his
but
deal.
It's I don't know, man. I don't know.
Not much more.
To me, it comes down to because the health is always going to be a question with Ja. But it's what we talked about a few weeks ago. If Ja wants to be healthier and avoid injury more, it all goes back to developing a jump shot.
Yeah.
If you develop
Style
a jump
play.
Shot, you can stay around the 3-point line more. You can be in the mid range more, and you're not going to drive and have to fly to the rim. You're not going to step on as many ankles.
You're not going to get knocked
out of the air as much. But at the same time, he's got to develop his jump shot, and he's also got to be a better defender. Those are the two things that have to happen, I think, for Ja to have the full career that he wants, other than health, obviously. I don't know if he can ever get back to the peak version of Ja because it relied so much on his athleticism
yeah.
that I think that some of the injuries may have taken away. I think that you could see flashes of it. We've seen flashes of
it this year, but
he hasn't played seven
you,
games
you brought
in a row.
Up Allen Iverson
for 3 years.
This is somewhere between. I mean, really, Ja is right now. What it looks like to me is the year after Derrick Rose rehabbed his ACL and came back, where it's like you feel good some nights.
It's different.
He can drop 40 when he's feeling good one night. But then the next night you see all those injuries that he's had, they mm-hmm. stack up and he doesn't play well, then he gets in his head. But that's what it reminds me of is the decline we saw in Derrick Rose post-injury. Now, obviously, Ja has not had as severe an injury as Derrick Rose had after his MVP season. But that, if you ask any Bulls fan that was around back then, they had these high hopes of Derrick Rose staying on the floor and being who he once was. But you only saw it once every 4 games, once every 5 games, and that's where we're at with Ja. Now, listen, I know this is a tough conversation to have, and I'm not going doom and gloom that the Grizzlies won't be in Memphis long term, but this is something you have to discuss when it comes to, you know, trading a guy like Ja Morant, a guy that's worth the price of admission, a guy that historically, maybe not this season, has sold season tickets. Grizzlies tickets are going for $4, $5.
They've always done that, though.
On second-hand sites. There's a lease that still needs to be signed. He's the most exciting player. So, like, the question now for me is if Ja Morant's gone, what's next for the Memphis Grizzlies? What do you look at as far as developing your team, your young guys? I think, really, the name you circle there is Cedric Howard.
Correct.
Right? What are you doing the rest of this year going into the future to try to get the most out of him if Ja Morant is not on the team? Because I think when you look at upside, the potential to be a number one scorer, obviously Jaren has that to a certain extent, although we've seen Jaren as a number one scorer, doesn't necessarily lead to a whole bunch of wins, even though he's a great player. But Cedric Howard is certainly that guy that I'd circle and say you need to focus on his development going forward, and then see what the draft gives you, all that. But that would be the guy that I would circle and say, hey, this is probably the focal point for the next couple of years. See what you can get out of him.
I think there are two correct answers. If someone came to me and said it's Zach Edey, I don't think I can disagree with them. I would probably say it's Coward, just because I think that a wing player and building your team around a wing just has more of a success hit or success rate in today's NBA than having a big man who can do that. Now, having a big man that can do what Zach Edey does is absolutely awesome. Beneficial, and he is a part of this core. And you brought up Jaren Jackson Jr., and you and I have had the conversation on this show a couple of times. If they chose to move off of Ja Morant, which it seems like is a possibility now more than it's ever been, Jaren still matches the timeline of these young guys. And listen, I know that a lot of people have opinions about Jaren. There are things that he can absolutely improve on, no doubt about it. That being said, Jaren shows up to work. He plays hard for the most part. He's improved a lot. Borderline All-NBA player when he's at his peak. He had a rough stretch this year, but overall, he's been pretty good. He's the type of player that I still think could be a part of this team post-Ja. And you brought up, you know, Ja's the type of guy, puts butts in seats. He's the reason people buy season tickets. Those things are true. But we've also got to be completely honest about Ja the last 3 years and what the experience of Ja Morant the last 3 years has been. We already know what life without Ja is going to feel like and be like.
Right.
Because it's been the reality of the Grizzlies for the last 3 seasons. You haven't had Ja for 3 years.
Yep.
You already know what that's like. So that's why I'm not as doom and gloom about the franchise and leave. It's because he hasn't been there. He hasn't been there for 3 years. And I think that in sports, it's a huge rule. It's also true. Winning heals all. If you are able to move off a Ja, and then you can build around guys like Cedric Howard and Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson Jr., and that leads to success, they'll be fine.
Yep.
They'll be fine. Losing Ja is and will hurt if they decide to move off of him, if a trade actually happens. It's going to stink. He's the best player we've ever had, the most exciting player we've ever had, and it will be a huge what if forever in the city of Memphis. What if Ja had stayed healthy? What would it have changed things for the Grizzlies? What could they have actually accomplished together? But right now, I don't think that you can look at me and say it makes sense for the Grizzlies to not to keep Ja Morant long-term and sign him to an extension right now, because he hasn't played basketball in 3 years. He's played 77 games in 3 years.
Connor, we came into
That's
the
not
year,
sustainable.
We came into the year with a pretty reasonable expectation for Ja that didn't even have to do with the actual stats and production. The expectation for Ja going into this year, if he was going to be a part of the Grizzlies long-term, we talked about it every show here. Every show nationally really talked about this when it came to Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Can he stay healthy? Can he be on the floor for 65-plus games? He's not able to do that. So, like, if today's news surprises you in that sense, that this is happening, I don't know what to tell you. You could be surprised by the timing, but I am not surprised that the Grizzlies have looked at the situation and have drawn at least a certain conclusion that, okay, maybe this isn't going to work out long term. Now,
Real quick, I have one more stat for you. Lawrence Dockery, friend of the program, he sent me a stat earlier today. Since the start of the 21-22 season, the Memphis Grizzlies have played 387 games. Ja has only appeared in 214 of those. That's 55%. Since the start of 21-22 season, the Memphis Grizzlies have played 18,656 minutes.
Oh, God.
Ja has only been on the court for 6,791, 36%. So even the games that he has played, we've seen him leave a couple of times. And I also just don't think it can be understated. Like, I love Ja. And when Ja's happy and things are clicking, it feels like paradise.
Yes.
It's awesome watching him.
But when he's not.
It hasn't been that for the majority of the time over the last 3 years. It has been Ja upset. It's been Ja and his hoodie
there
pulled all the way up.
It
has been Ja upset
Ja
with coaches. And I saw a lot of people today say, well, they messed up the coaching search. That's one of the reasons this is happening. Yeah. Both of us thought they should have done an external search. But
Ja damn near handpicked. They said, yes,
exactly.
We want Easterlow to be
that,
the next
That's
guy.
Exactly the point I wanted to make is it's becoming such a distraction, I think, for that Ja is just always unhappy seemingly right now with the Grizzlies. And they have stood by him, and they made a lot of concessions for Ja.
I don't know how anybody has the opinion that they haven't stood
by him. I know
that
they didn't give him his extension, but would any NBA team give him an extension right now?
How does anybody have the opinion they haven't stood by him? Let's just look through the facts of the past 3 years. He has a run at Foot Locker. There's the thing in the bowels of FedEx forums, where there's red dots and stuff. I don't know the validity of it, but that was reported by another team and their players. Then you have a gun on Instagram Live more than once. Then you do all these different things. Strip club. The couple nights before a game in Denver. Then you have the pickup game at his house. Then you have, at the beginning of this year, this may be the straw that broke the camel's back. But with all that stuff I just mentioned, that had transpired. And then even after that, Zach Kleiman said, we're not trading him under any circumstances.
And then he quit on the team.
And then you have more stuff. He's not able to stay healthy. Then he gets suspended for contract detrimental to the team. He doesn't get along with the coach. And then you're in this situation now. But this idea that they have not stood by him is absolutely foolish. I have seen guys get given up on way quicker than this in other organizations that are part of other organizations.
Yeah. And listen, this isn't to say...
Ja's had plenty of chances and opportunities.
Right. And this isn't to say that Kleiman and the front office and Robert Pera... coaching staff aren't blamed. Like, they have blame too. They did build a very good team. We talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
They decided to move off of Dylan Brooks, never replaced the culture
but
center.
But that is completely separate from if they supported Ja Morant or not.
It is separate, but it is part of this whole deal. It's one of those deals where it's like, that is separate, but it's also a part of what's happening now.
Right.
Part of, it's the front office never built a sustainable team.
So it's
like really
general unhappiness from Ja Morant.
Right.
Sure.
Now, but at the same time, he was never healthy.
Can we also acknowledge that Ja Morant has been part of the reason that Ja Morant is unhappy too?
Yeah, very much so. That's why it's like there's no one answer here. It is the pie chart of blame. I think Ja has 65% of it. Front office team probably has the rest of it. Because it's just it's been a headache, man. It's been hard, and it's not been fun over the last 3 years. When Ja's playing and he's happy, it's super fun. But that is not the majority of the time, and it's not even close to being the majority of the time right now. And on one hand, I feel for Ja, and I want him to be happy, and I want him to be able to play basketball, and I feel bad that his body has failed him.
Yes.
It hasn't necessarily been his fault. But at the same time, the things that he can control, he's handled poorly.
Yes, very much so.
And that's why it's like I can't just look at this and be like, this team's given up on him, and they're throwing him away. And I'm like, I don't think that's the truth at all. I just don't. They've stood by him. They've given him time to try to come back and play, and he just hasn't been able to. And at some point when you're an NBA team, you can't keep doing this.
Yep.
Most teams would have given up on him earlier than this.
Yes, I agree. Now, for those that are wondering, per reports, the Heat, Timberwolves, Bucks, and Kings are reaching out to the Grizzlies to see what it takes to go get Ja Morant. I wouldn't hold my breath for a massive package, but we will see in the coming weeks, months, maybe this summer, what happens with Ja Morant. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We come back, we talk some CFP semifinal, unbelievable game last night between Ole Miss and Miami that came down.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Down to the final 11 seconds. We'll talk about it next. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Before we move on to the CFP discussion and talk about this 31-27 win by Miami last night over Ole Miss, and then also look ahead to tonight, Indiana versus Oregon, the rematch, I had one more thought on Ja Morant. And listen, I brought up my concerns, and I think other people have brought up their concerns about season tickets and selling tickets and how cheap the tickets are. And if Ja Morant's gone, what would that look like? It's a concern. But at the same time, I do look at the history of the Grizzlies franchise and take a little bit of solace. Because, Connor, what's the most successful era of the Grizzlies organization?
Grit and Grind.
Was there a star on that team?
There was not.
They had all-stars, sure. Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, I get that part of it. But in the end of the day, it was just a well-assembled team. And even post-Ja Morant, you know what makes tickets fly off the shelves? You know what sells season tickets? Winning. So if you put together a good team, even without Ja Morant, it should figure itself out all right. Now, people, you can have your concerns and thoughts about if Zach Kleiman can do that or not, this front office can
sure,
do that or
sure.
not. But at the same time, I couldn't leave that unsaid. The most successful era of this organization is grit and grind, and I don't think there was any, you know, overwhelming superstars, celebrities on that particular team. They were
no.
just very good, very well assembled.
It was a team that showed up every night, played their ass off every night, never quit every single night, and you could rely on them. You knew they were going to show up, and they won a lot of basketball games. I said it yesterday briefly. When I tuned into the G&G era, I always expected them to win, and I was always surprised when they wouldn't win.
Yep.
No matter who they were playing. Even when it was LeBron and the Heatles, I was like, they're going to win this game. I just had an expectation for winning. I knew that the core four were going to show up every night and leave it out there on the court. That is what's going to sell tickets. That is what connects here yeah. in Memphis to people. You know what they didn't have? A shoe. That's not the goal.
No.
The goal of an NBA team and a franchise, to have success in a city. Superstar player can absolutely be a part of that. Having a shoe can absolutely be a part of that. I do think the Grizzlies have benefited from that, but it's not the only way. And for those that are trying to say they're not going to be able to survive without Ja, I just don't agree with it because we have the history of the Memphis Grizzlies to go back and look at. The most successful time they've ever had is when they won a lot of basketball games with players who left it all out there and embraced the city. Ja embraced the city, but he didn't do the other part.
Yep.
You got to find both. And to be honest, a guy like Cedric Howard, Zach Edey, those are players that I think can do both.
Yep. Now, Fiesta Bowl was last night. Miami gets the win late. 18 seconds to go. Carson Beck scrambled for 3 yards for a touchdown. I want to say first off, Ole Miss knocked out. Unbelievable season for Ole Miss. Trinidad Chambliss. I can only imagine what would have happened for him had he started the first couple games of the year. His final stats, 66 completion percentage, 3,937 passing yards, 527 rush yards, and 30 total touchdowns. He was a star when Ole Miss needed a star the most. And last night, I thought, was no exception. The guy was great. 23 for 37, 277, a touchdown. Obviously didn't get to run all that much, but he had a long and 19, found a way to get that done. But ultimately, this game, to me, came down to Miami just imposing their will from start to finish. And by the third and fourth quarter, they really wear it on that Ole Miss defense. They ran for 191 yards. Mark Fletcher Jr., 22 for 133. And then Charmar Brown, 14 for 54 and a touchdown. It just felt as if Ole Miss could never get off the field on the defensive side. They did their darndest. They had that bend, don't break mentality. I thought they were a little outmatched in the trenches. But here are the stats that matter from last night. 41-22 worth of possession time for Miami. 18-38 for Ole Miss. And then third down efficiency, 11 for 19 for Miami and 2 for 10 for Ole Miss. Ole Miss had to try to strike fast. You saw the Kiwan Lacy 73-yard run, more on him in a second. And Miami was just able to sustain and really tire and wear down that Ole Miss defense. They were also 2 for 2 on fourth down. There were a lot of demoralizing plays and conversions for that Ole Miss defense as the game went along. But shout out to Miami. Very, very impressive. I did get one thing right, although I did not get the final score and pick right. I did have Ole Miss last night, but I did get one thing correct. Ole Miss's offense was a different look for that Miami defensive front. By the time we got to the fourth quarter, Akeem Mesidor and Reuben Bain Jr. only had one combined pressure on Trinidad Chambliss. It was that RPO stuff, getting the ball out fast, going to play action, running the ball directly downhill, not taking a bunch of time to get the ball and get downhill. Just unbelievable run here for Miami, and they're doing it with the personnel they have. Now, there was a moment there in the fourth quarter where I was wondering, okay, when is the Miami Mario Cristobal team going to show up? And it did show up. They had a targeting and a late hit on back-to-back plays. Mm-hmm. We could debate targeting. I don't like a lot of targeting calls. It hurt the Miami defender that ultimately made the hit. But that showed up. Ole Miss ends up scoring, taking the lead there. So I thought it would end there. But Mario Cristobal's team, maybe a little bit different, a little bit different in the DNA. They fought back, made some things happen with about 3 minutes to go, and ultimately went down and scored. And I do think Carson Beck deserves a lot of credit. I don't think he was perfect last night. I don't think he's been perfect all year. But one of the best things he did last night was use his legs in crucial situations. And it paid off for Miami in a massive way. They're headed to the national title.
Yeah, I think that the running game for Miami last night was the main reason they won. Ole Miss's defense just was not able to get it done. They couldn't make the stops when they absolutely needed to, especially on that last drive. It's Miami, on that last drive, it was so odd because it was like they were trying to give Ole Miss the opportunities to stop them, and they just didn't take it. And ultimately, that Carson Beck scramble to get in the end zone was wide open. Like I said, I think anybody could have gotten into the end zone
there. And it was there just about all night.
Right, it was there just about all night. I thought Mark Fletcher was phenomenal last night. Phenomenal. I know he didn't get the touchdown because Brown got the touchdown, but he was also very good. Like, their running game and their offensive line just pushed around the Ole Miss defense and gave them so many opportunities. Carson Beck had a lot of time back there to make. You never put a ton of pressure on Carson Beck, and that was one of the keys of the game for us. If Ole Miss was going to win that game, you've got to force Carson Beck to make quick decisions, and they didn't force him to do that. When you were watching the game, especially on that last drive, he had a ton of time back there to make the right decision, and he ultimately did. And yeah. I thought Trinidad Chambliss played a good game. He tried to keep him in it, but When Lacy went down, man,
yeah, that
it was
the biggest thing.
It was going to be so hard for them to win that
because
game.
Because one thing that Ole Miss has really thrived with this season is explosive plays in the run game.
Right.
And Logan Diggs is not going to provide you that. You had one guy on your roster in Kawan Lacy who could provide you with that. And when he went out and had his injuries, it just was not the same for that Ole Miss offense. They couldn't stay on schedule the same way. They had to throw the ball a little bit more. And you could tell that it really bothered sort of the flow for that offense. Well, but still, they had a chance to win the ball game, yeah, if they get a defensive stop with about 3 minutes to go. You know, so I don't know if I can blame that offense too much. You're playing a really good defense. You put up 27 points.
Yeah. I don't blame the offense.
You put up 27 points. You didn't turn the ball over. You tried to be as efficient as possible. You just ran into a really good team that's peaking at the right time.
Just Ole Miss wasn't tackling well. Like, there were just so many times where they had arms on the guys and couldn't get them down.
It was constantly, this is what I noticed with Mark Fletcher, it would be they would miss a tackle and it would turn a 2 yard gain into a 7 yard gain.
Yeah.
And that happened time and time again on first and second down. And when you let that Miami offense with that big offensive line do that, they're going to be able to convert more often than not. That's why you saw 11 for 19 on third down.
Yeah.
It felt like, based on the way the game was played, it felt like Miami should have ran away with it. Right.
If you
just sort of look at the time of possession, you look at the conversions, you look at how demoralized that Ole Miss team could have gone. I give them a lot of credit for not getting demoralized and keep fighting. They kept fighting the entire time. But it felt like Miami was in control the entire game, and at the end, they made the plays that mattered.
And when you, like, if you just looked at the box score too, you're like, well, Ole Miss had 4 sacks in the game. And it's like, yeah, but they were kind of inconsequential. They weren't in the moments that they needed to be.
Well, you know? There was a couple in the first half. And a lot of them, to your point about not getting consistent pressure on Carson Beck, a lot of those sacks were on free rushers, very quick. But most of the time, that Miami offensive line was picking up all their pressures and keeping Carson Beck
upright.
It was
just, as the game went on, it felt like Miami's offensive line was improving. And Ole Miss's defense was going. They were getting gassed. They were gassed by the end of the game.
That's what I wanted to mention. SEC now out of the fight.
Again.
I'm looking at the Big Ten, and I'm looking at that team in Miami in the ACC. They're more physically imposing than anything the SEC had to offer this year. Truthfully, that Miami offensive line, as you got to the third and fourth quarter, I just remember thinking, you know, down the stretch of that game, even though Ole Miss was still fighting, it's got to be impossible for that defensive line for Ole Miss to just sit there and have these big-ass dudes lean on them for four quarters.
Yes.
Markel Bell, their left tackle, is 6'9", 370 pounds. Their right tackle, Francis Moaga, he's massive, huge dude, 6'5", 6'6", 330 pounds. Their interior guys all probably average 325-plus. And Ole Miss's D-line, they have some big dudes. They have some, you know, size, some SEC size. But they didn't have the size that Miami had on their offensive line.
I was so impressed by Miami. I was so impressed by them. I thought that they had kind of been overperforming in the college football playoffs so far. And last night, they just went out there. And like you said, they controlled that football game. And if Ole Miss was going to win, it would have had to be with those big plays. And I think that once Lacy went out, it took away the dynamic part of their offense. And they could only do one thing. And Miami really buckled down and made it difficult for them. So they deserve a ton of credit. And Cristobal, I could not believe, like you said, in that fourth quarter,
they
I was
were
like,
about to, they were about
oh my
to do
God,
the whole
it's,
thing.
It's happening.
And
it's
also,
happening. And that's why I couldn't believe Beck didn't throw a pick on that final drive. I couldn't believe it.
I know you don't call it in that situation, but Dazon Stribling on that final play of the game.
That's a pass interference. 100%.
That was a Miami. 100%. That was definitely a Miami screw up. That 100%. Got away with.
His
hand touched the ball.
Here.
His hand got on the ball.
It's one of those where it's like, I know
you're not going to call it there, but you probably should.
It's one of those where it's like,
here's the argument that I think a ref would make. There was hand fighting and they went back and forth, but no, he kept him from the ball, and Stribling showed he could have made it to it. His left hand, it nicked off of his left hand.
I know. That's why it was one of those moments where I wanted Ole Miss to win. So I'm like, they should have called it. But I'm also like, you don't call that in that situation, but I don't know. It sets a interesting precedent to not call that, I think, because then you're kind of teaching teams like you can just take people out on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Do you want that to be the precedent?
No, I don't think that's exactly. I don't. It's in the eye of every single officiating crew.
They never call
they
it.
They should have called it.
They should.
They
have
really
called it,
should have.
But they don't.
And it would have been so vintage Mario Cristobal and his teams.
Now another didn't happen thing last night. That Tony catch was unbelievable. Unreal. One of the best catches I've ever seen.
So I don't get the rule. So if your toe comes down and your heel lands on
it's the heel.
That's so dumb. That is so dumb. I hate
I'm going to be honest.
Rule.
Football rules in the NFL and college football when it comes to catches drive me insane. Every catch, I'm like, I have no idea.
I can't tell you how many catches week to week, NFL and college football, where they make this unbelievable effort. And it's just by, like, we slow it down to the fraction of a millisecond, and we see, oh, his heel touched out of bounds after his toe came down inbounds. Like, just give it to him. If he's making that
just
unbelievable
give it to him.
Of a catch.
What's even crazy is, like, he wasn't the targeted receiver. CJ, he was trying to throw it to CJ Daniels.
That's a true freshman, man.
It's nuts.
That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Bright future. Bright future.
Very bright.
All right. Tonight, 6:30. Oregon versus...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay per listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms. For more,
find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Indiana, the rematch. The rematch. Now listen, I've told you how I feel about this game. It's hard for me to pick anybody over Indiana. They just seem to be locked in. They fight together. They don't turn the ball over. They don't make mistakes. If you make mistakes, they take advantage every single time. And also, Indiana went on the road to Autzen and won 30-20. Now, I thought it was a relatively close game, and until the fourth quarter, it was up in the air. I thought Oregon had a chance to win. But this is neutral site. Indiana's favored by 3. I really like their chances in this game. But I think the most important matchup, the thing I'm watching the closest, I really want to see, because this has NFL draft implications. I want to see Dante Moore versus Fernando Mendoza tonight. I want to see some fireworks. I want to see how it goes. Now, I know that Indiana is going to rely on the run game. They're going to be balanced as possible. But I expect Fernando Mendoza to be locked in. I want to see if Dante Moore can do the same thing. I want to see if he can do the same thing. Because there's been moments throughout the season where you see number one overall pick Dante Moore. But there's also moments where you say, okay, he probably needs a year to chill once he gets to the NFL to learn an offense and you know, get in the swing of things. But tonight is going to be massive for those two guys. Obviously, it has implications. Winner goes to the national title to play Miami. But those two guys are who I'm watching the closest.
I love that tonight feels like old school football versus new school football. Speed against grit. I cannot wait to watch this game. I think Indiana will ultimately win just because I think that they're a little bit better in the trenches. And it's going to be fascinating to
watch.
But
here's what's interesting.
It's also funny that you're like, Dante Moore might need a year to chill. Yeah, Welcome to the Jets.
There's moments, but there's also other moments where you see him get the ball out fast, get to his reads, and he looks great. I still think he has a higher upside than Fernando Mendoza, but that Fernando Mendoza floor seems very high.
Did you hear his quote about
just because of how he, you know, understands the game? If you've ever heard him sort of talk about his reads after he throws a touchdown pass, you know, after the game, he's locked in. He's locked in.
Did you hear his quotes about, like, he doesn't have any apps on his phone, social media apps, he doesn't listen to music before the game?
I saw this. The no music's always weird to me. You're a psycho if you're not listening to some type of music before the game. But also,
you need a psycho. You kind of need a psycho.
He said this before the year that he's only got LinkedIn and what else did he say?
His LinkedIn, I don't remember.
His social media.
His LinkedIn and one other one, yeah.
Yeah, he's got LinkedIn.
But when you have a combination of Cignetti and Mendoza, that's going to lead to success because you need lunatics.
Yep.
Like, the best quarterbacks are the weirdest quarterbacks.
Now, what do you think I'm going to say about what Oregon needs to get done against Indiana to find success offensively? What do you think I'm going to say? I've said it. See if your memory holds. It's just about every week I say the same thing against when somebody's playing Indiana. Run the football.
Yeah, I was
run the football.
I was like trenches.
You have to find a way to run the football against this Indiana defensive front. You have to find a way. And I understand it's very tough. They have some really gritty guys in there. Aiden Fisher, their linebacker, is one of the best guys, inside linebackers that run fits in the entire landscape of college football. But you have to run the ball to find success. You don't want Dante Moore to have to air it out on a consistent basis. You want to help him in that realm. You don't want to have to make him be a complete superhero. But here's the thing. I've said that every single game. No matter who they've played, no matter who Indiana has played, the opponent, I say, you have to establish a run game. And no one's been able to do it because Indiana just does not get beat by themselves. They have great discipline, and Kurt Cignetti's instilled that in them.
Yeah, it's can you push around Indiana? I don't know if they're going to be able to. It feels not dissimilar from the game that we watched last night in a lot of ways. You have one team that is imposing with size on the offensive line and defensive line, and can the other one use their speed and athleticism to break through it?
And I'm going to ask you this question. How much do you take from Oregon's defensive performance against Texas Tech? Because Texas Tech's offense, we had questions going in, and we learned why. Baron Morton was awful. But, like, they did play very, very well. So how much do we take away from that? How much can they sort of carry that momentum into this Indiana game?
I think it
game?
Depends on how much did you actually believe in Texas Tech as a contender.
And my answer is
not much.
So we shall see.
It's going to be a great game. It should be a great game.
Yep. I'm excited for it. Winner punches their ticket to play Miami in the national title. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll come back, talk about this and much more with David Cobb from CBS Sports.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like
the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.